In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on Lesson 172 on Christian Perfection. And in the picture we have Christian, I assume, ready for battle, with the devils attacking him on the one side, the Holy Ghost behind him, but he has a shield, and the shield is marked faith. He has armor, justice, and truth. He has this word of God as his sword, hope, it looks like hope for his helmet. And I was just noticing the various animal figuring faces that are being portrayed, I think, as the demons that he is doing battle against, which I thought was quite interesting, because the demons more readily, I think, take possession of the irrational animals and make use of them. And so it is important, I think, that we bless our animals and really bless the food that we eat that has come from the animals, because the lower animals, the irrational animals, are easily inhabited or controlled by demons. The caption reads, from St. Paul, we learn what armor to wear in our struggle for Christian perfection. Quote, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of justice, and having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace, and all things taking up the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. And take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is, the word of God. From Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. The first question is, should we be satisfied merely to keep the commandments of God? We should not be satisfied merely to keep the commandments of God, but should always be ready to do good deeds, even when they are not commanded. If we only give God what He commands us to give, we would be doing only what is absolutely necessary. In such a case, we would go to church only once a week, plus 6 holy days of obligation a year. We would go to confession only once a year, and receive Holy Communion only during the Easter time. By doing these things and avoiding all serious violation of the commandments, we would still be obeying God and keeping ourselves from mortal sin and saving our souls. What would you think of a child who gives to his parents only what is demanded of him? What would you think of him if he never showed them any affection, never did anything extra for them to show his love and gratitude? We would say he is an abnormal son and an unnatural child. We say that we love God, our Creator, Father, and Friend, our Savior, the source of all our benefits and graces. Love is proved by deeds, by the amount of sacrifice we would be willing to make for the beloved person. This is why we know Christ, the God-man, loved us so much. He sacrificed everything, life itself, for us. Can we ever return such love? Can we ever serve God sufficiently to show our affection? He does not command us to go out of our way to help the poor, but can we consider anyone a good Christian who does not do so? A Christian should not only obey the commands of Christ, but should follow his counsels. We go to church on weekdays because we love him and wish to visit him in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. to receive him into our very hearts. We should think up extra things to do for God as we think up extra things to do for the person we love most. Our parents do not command us to buy gifts for them on their birthdays, but if we do so, are they not delighted at our show of affection? In what does Christian perfection consist? Christian perfection consists in union with God by the practice of virtue. It requires love of God and our neighbor and detachment of the heart from the things of this world. By striving after true Christian perfection, we make clearer and clearer in ourselves the true image of God. Is not this a wonderful incentive? Christian perfection is nothing else but sanctity, holiness, the love of the saints for God. Lest those who call themselves ordinary mortals be afraid to aspire to this sanctity, we must make it clear that it does not require extraordinary works. It only requires deep abiding love, for love is the fulfilling of the law, the fulfillment of it to its very foundation and depths, not merely on the surface. Did our Blessed Mother do any extraordinary works? Judged by normal standards of the world, but no mortal has been or can be as holy, as full of perfection. Let us surrender ourselves fervently to God, and we shall be on the way to Christian perfection, according to our individual capacity. It's a humorous story of an elderly woman who once explained that she wants to go to heaven, but she was not really interested in becoming a saint, because becoming a saint was too hard. And I found it almost ludicrous and laughing, this poor woman has been a Catholic her whole life, to make such a strange statement. But I understand that she had read the lives of the saints, and in all the books we read of the lives of the saints, we read of the wonderful things that they did, the miracles that they performed, the extraordinary actions that they did, and we somehow think that that is what it means to be a saint, that if we're not really working miracles and doing these wonderful things, that we're not really saint material. But truly, all we need to do is love God, and he does not call everyone to work these miracles or to be noticed by the world or to have things written about us. Just in the ordinary day-to-day things, the daily taking up our cross, the daily self-denials, even the most minor or apparently insignificant things, all of these are testimonies of our love. And it is not really in the big things, but in faithfulness to little things that is important. So, God requires all to aspire to Christian perfection. He says, quote, "You therefore are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect," from St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Those who practice virtue will receive an eternal reward and are happy even on earth. Hence our Lord pronounces them blessed in the Beatitudes, in St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. All states of life can be sanctified by those who wish only to live for God. Saints are found in every class. Love of God is in everybody's power. As there are different degrees of love, so also there are different degrees of perfection, according to the capacity of each individual. But all can practice virtue. From other good works, we can excuse ourselves saying, quote, "I cannot fast, for I am sickly," etc. But no one can say, "I cannot love." However, religious and pious practices should be adapted to the occupations and duties of an individual. A mother of 12 young children would do wrong to spend half the day in church praying. One who works in an office should not stay so long at daily Mass that he is habitually late for his work. The model of Christian perfection is our Lord. The saints who imitated him steadfastly are also patterns of perfection. No one can ever be as perfect as our Lord, but having him for a model inspires us to strive for greater and greater sanctity. He said, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, from St. John chapter 14, verse 6. And in reply to the young man who wished to become perfect, Jesus said, quote, Come, follow me, St. Matthew 19, verse 21. We should try to make progress every day so that we are better today than yesterday. Quote, He who is just, let him be just still, and he who is holy, let him be hallowed still. In the Apocalypse, chapter 22, verse 11. We should begin from youth to strive after perfection. Venerable Dominic Savio, on his first communion day, when only 7 years old, made some resolutions to which he was faithful till his death. These resolutions helped him towards perfection, so that at the age of 15, he died a holy death. Among his resolutions were 1. Frequent confession and communion, 2. Jesus and Mary as friends, and 3. Death rather than sin. Everyone should choose for his model a saint whose position and calling are similar to his own. Schoolboys will find among the best models Saint Aloysius, schoolgirls, the Little Flower, Saint Agnes, and always the Blessed Virgin. Married men, Saint Louis of France, Saint Thomas More. Married women, Saint Monica, Saint Elizabeth. Religious, the canonized founders of their order. Priests, the Curie of Ars, St. John Bosco, St. Philip Neri, Bishops, St. Charles Borromeo, St. Francis of Sales, etc. In order to be in the state of Christian perfection, we must have a spirit of detachment towards the things of this world. Let us remember that the eternal is what counts. The temporal is given us by God only to help us fulfill our end of praising, of serving him, and thus saving our soul. By the spirit of detachment is not meant actual dispossession. A rich man can be completely detached from riches if he uses them only for the end God gave them to him, if he does not love his riches for the sake of riches or for other worldly purposes, but uses his wealth for God and his fellow men. A man in a high position of honor and power is detached from such honor and glory if he knows they all come from God and uses them for God's purposes. On the other hand, even the poorest of men and the most despised can violate the spirit of detachment if he desires to possess what he does not have for the sake of such possession. That concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments? We will simply end. I just recalled that in our novitiate, Bishop Lewis used to tell us, speaking on detachment, it really doesn't matter what we're attached to. Whatever it is an obstacle to our perfection. He said, you know, whether it's money or things, he said, and he pulled a little pen out of his pocket and he says, even if I refuse to give up my pen and I'm attached to this pen, it becomes an obstacle to my salvation. And it seems really ridiculous that we would lose our soul for the attachment of a pen. But since we have taken, as Franciscans, a vow of poverty, that it is the attachment to anything that is becomes an obstacle. And so it was impressed upon us that, you know, if someone asks anything of you, you need to be ready to part with it. And not too long ago, I had a lady ask me if I had a cross for her. And I said, no, all I have is my little St. Benedict crucifix. I said, I can't take that. That's yours. I said, well, you asked me. I will give it to you. You promised to take good care of it. Yeah, sure. I said, it's yours. I can get another one. It's not a big deal. It was a nice crucifix, but I cannot be attached to it, and I have to be ready to let go of it. And I'm hoping that the person who received that will receive the special graces and be inspired to love God more. And, we can't allow ourselves to be attached as Franciscans, as religious, because we've taken this vow of poverty, but even the people in the world must be that free and willing to part with anything, even our time. Another one of Bishop Lewis's encouragements to us, that a good Franciscan should always be occupied, but never preoccupied. We must always keep ourselves busy. There must be always doing something, but we can't be so busy that we can't set it aside and help someone else. So we can't be preoccupied that it's so important we can't set it aside to do some greater good. And there are many examples, you know, of the scribes who were transcribing the Bible or the Psalms. When the bell would ring for office, they would stop writing without even finishing writing the word that they were on. They would immediately put the pen down and go to do whatever they were being called to do. So we need to develop that disposition that we are never preoccupied. We're always busy, but we're never so busy that we can't set it aside to do something of greater value, of something more importance. And generally, if someone is coming to us for help or a question, we need to be able to set aside the worldly task to attend to whoever that is. And that's probably one of my greatest faults. I said, just wait a minute, let me finish this. Especially when I'm trying to write or compose, let me get this thought down, and then I'll give you my full attention. Or go ahead, while I'm working, I'm listening, while I'm continue to work. So I see that in myself, but I think we all need to work on that disposition, that no matter how busy I am, if someone needs something from me, that person is more important than whatever physical thing we're doing at that moment. I've seen and heard of, you know, the storekeeper is dealing with a customer at the counter, but he will ask that customer to wait while he answers the phone. And the customer will say, but I'm the person here in front of you, and you know, I should demand, or I should receive your full attention while I am here. The person on the phone, you've got an answer machine, let somebody else get to them. You should not put me on hold to answer the phone. Which person gets the priority is going to depend on many things, but at the same time, as priests, we can carry on a conversation with one person and the phone rings. Do we say, just a minute, let me get this, or answer and say, can I call you back? You know, who gets put on hold? And it's a difficult decision, especially when you're someone in authority, because people get their feelings hurt pretty quickly. the bishop put me on hold to talk to somebody else, or you know, this other person is more important than me, whatever it may be, and we tend to get our feelings hurt pretty quickly. And I don't want to treat people like objects, but at the same time, there has to be an ability to perhaps make ourselves all to all people, but at the same time to keep some order and discipline in our lives, that we're not running hither and thither, scattered to the wind, but we can perhaps draw, like Christ, to draw all souls to Christ. And if we have no questions, then I think we can end with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et mani et semper. Amen.
Thank you,
Thank you all.